May the word of God bring us to the God of his word. Amen. In the last few weeks, we've been working through Matthew's gospel. And in the passage before this, last week, Karen preached a very well thought through sermon on recentering ourselves on Christ. She said at the beginning that when she was a teacher, she used to test her pupils at the beginning of the lesson to see if they had remembered what had been learnt the week before. So this morning, I'm going to be very kind to you and remind you what was said, or indeed fill you in if you weren't here. If you weren't here, I'd be very pleased to hear afterwards about the sermon that was preached at the church you were at. Karen spoke about Peter saying that Jesus was the Messiah, and Jesus telling him that he'll be the rock on which the church is built. Jesus is testing the disciples and asking, "Who do you say that I am?" Karen suggested that as well as our words, our actions are a first witness to the answer to this question. How we move and live in this world is the sermon that we preach each day. It ought to tell people the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. She asked us, what do we say Jesus is? Or who do we say Jesus is through the way we live our lives? The passage we had from Romans this morning gives us some guidelines as to how to live good Christian lives. Often when I visit families considering baptism or Thanksgiving, they are concerned that their children should have a sense of Christian morality. Most people would agree with Paul's advice to let love be genuine and to hold fast to what is good. But why do we want to be good people? Is it so that people would like us, or so that we'll make a positive difference in the world? Is it so our family life will run smoothly? Is it because the world would be a better place if everyone's love was genuine? Is it because we've been in situations before that have been bad and we want to make up for it and be better people? Is it because we want to please God, because he's somehow watching us or judging us? These are all fairly good reasons. But should we be more intentional than this? Should we be good because we want people to see Christ, for others to come into a relationship with him? In the way we move and live and have our being, are we being deliberately evangelistic? I suspect some of you will feel uncomfortable with this idea, that somehow we only do good and say things to people that are good because we're trying to convert them. This isn't exactly what I mean, it's too crude. What I am suggesting is that this is the most unselfish way of living a good life, to do everything for Christ and in Christ and with Christ in order to show Christ. Not doing anything for ourselves to make our lives easier or to make people like us or to make ourselves feel good or to be a better person or even to build relationships. These are byproducts of living in a Christ-centered way. We spend far too much time focusing on ourselves, I think. We can love better if we let our relationship with Jesus be sorted out. Now, we need to look at the subtleties here. Holding fast to what is good is holding on to Christ and not doing anything out of a desire for anything else other than knowing Christ and making him known. My motivation for good living is that I will treat each person with genuine love because Christ loves me, and I will show his love so that they will know how much he loves them. I wonder if that makes you feel uncomfortable, that the person will not see how very much you love them, how well you love, how loving you are. God is the source of genuine love. We can't love without him. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. People will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Whoever does not love does not know God. God is love. The depth of your love relies on Jesus. You share Christ's love in a unique way because you're the only one who can be you. But without God, there is no love. God is love. We should long for people to experience God's love when we share it. When we say, "I love you," we are choosing to draw on the source of love. This is letting love be genuine, to identify its true authenticity. In the marriage service, an opening prayer can be used, which expresses this. It reminds everyone there, but particularly the couple, that it is the Holy Spirit giving the gift of love that makes "I love you" possible. It says, "God of wonder and joy, grace comes from you. You alone are the source of life and love. Without you, we cannot please you. Without your love, our deeds are worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, that we may worship you now with thankful hearts and serve you always with willing minds." If we can manage this, then like Peter, we can be rock-like and a strong building block of the church. However, in the passage we heard this morning, we see how quickly Peter moved from being a rock to being a stumbling block. He was a rock when he declared that Jesus was the Messiah and he'd centered himself on Christ. But then this week, he takes Jesus aside and tries to tell him what to do, and he becomes a stumbling block. He moves himself away from God's will. I love this passage. You can just imagine Peter casually taking the Son of God aside and trying to rebuke him, and actually saying, "God forbid." It's actually quite funny. However, it's a cautionary tale. If we can manage to share Christ's love, people come to Christ. We're effectively a stepping stone to eternal life with Jesus. If we don't hold fast to what is good, we trip people up and potentially deny them the hope of salvation. It's that serious. All too often we collude in ungodly behaviour. I had a dig at you at the beginning about church attendance. It's a great example. Someone says to you, "I won't see you at church on Sunday because my relatives are over, or I'm going on holiday, so, you know, I'll be having a lie-in." When was the last time you gently reminded someone about the importance of worship and keeping the Sabbath? Karen last week said that centering oneself around Christ puts him above family and friends and other distractions. It's actually how people slip away. Meeting together as the body of Christ at least weekly is essential. And I guarantee at some point you've had that conversation with someone where they've said they're too busy to church. Did you challenge them, or did you collude with them and saying, "Oh yes, I understand"? Were you a stepping stone, or were you a stumbling block? Did you want to show Christ's love to them so much that you were willing to say how much they'd be missing out on? Now, you may feel I'm being harsh, but I'm prepared to, because this is important. Let's have a look at that Romans passage again. "Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord." There's a passion about this, an urgency. It's exciting. We need to encourage one another to press on. There's much more that could be said, and it's worth reading through at home. Have a think. Do I help people be patient in suffering? Or do I tell them that it won't last forever? Do I encourage one another to pray? Or do I just say it's not that easy? Am I a stumbling block or a stepping stone in all these things? Have a look through later. I think a particular stumbling block for us is actually the tone of the passage. It's distinctly unfair. "Bless those who persecute you. Feed your enemies. Give them a drink when they're thirsty." Let's have a think about this practically. When you're talking with your friends about someone you perceive who's annoying or out of order or just difficult, what is your reaction? Is it to do something really nice for them? Or leave them alone and not bother, or deliberately just leave them out? Be honest in your response to this. Are you and your friend a stepping stone for each other in encouraging a positive response to the annoying person? Or are you a stumbling block as you collude in your negative characterization of the individual? And are you a stumbling block for the individual in ensuring the relationship is terminated? Or are you a stepping stone as you press on and give Christ-like and genuine love? Are you looking at the situation in a way which is for Christ and in Christ and with Christ in order to show Christ? I remember preaching a sermon about life being unfair before and God being unfair. I can't remember exactly what I said, but I'm pretty sure I made the point that God keeps on loving even when it seems absurd to do so. Which brings us back to the cross, doesn't it? If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. When people experience life with you and I, wouldn't it be amazing if they experience solid and sure faith? Someone who knows that Jesus is a Messiah and shows genuine love from the source of life and love. Not looking to massage their own self-worth, but with the same self-sacrificial love which Jesus displayed on the cross, even to his enemies. Someone who will hold fast to what is good and not be a stumbling block by colluding with anything other than Christ-like motives. Now this takes work. Peter and Paul were devout followers of Christ. They'd given up everything else in order to be him to be the centre. And they did persevere in prayer. It's interesting that rocks and stones and blocks can look pretty much the same. Who's to tell whether we're stepping stones or stumbling blocks? Sometimes we're one and sometimes we're the other. We can't fool anyone. We need to put the work in now to address our attitudes and relationships. Consider those difficult people and think about something nice to do. To address our Bible reading and our praying and our church attendance now. To establish foundations of rock. Because it's often when the hard times come, when the waters come, that the stepping stones aren't there. They're just stumbling blocks that float away. And I've spoken about deep waters in the past too, haven't I? Let me close with this. When love is genuine, and when we are holding fast to what is good, we actually find that the Holy Spirit makes the stones come alive. In 1 Peter, which possibly wasn't written by Peter, but it's interesting that the rock imagery comes back, we are told to come to Jesus, the living stone, and let ourselves be living stones too. Built into a spiritual house, God's own people, in order that we'll proclaim the mighty acts of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Being a rock, a solid foundation, a stepping stone, isn't dull. It's dynamic. It's alive. It involves showing who Jesus is, by the way we move and live and have our being, challenging and loving and motivating. It involves rejoicing at more stones being made to build the kingdom. Being a stumbling block, staying with the status quo, colluding with popular thoughts, just leaves you lying in the same place, with people tripping over you. Let us pray. Lord, help us to address our relationships with you so that we might show your genuine love, that we might be a sure foundation and a stepping stone for others. Help us not to be stumbling blocks. And help us to want to be evangelistic in everything that we do. Because we know that you are the source of life and love. And we want this for others too, so that more living stones might build the kingdom of heaven. Amen.